Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
7:14, some rain in the area, going to disappear by 8 o'clock, whatever is left, and then it turns warmer today, a little bit cooler tomorrow, highs today of, about 70 degrees, then 64 tomorrow, 69 Sunday, and then for Monday of Super Bowl week all the way through Super Bowl Eve, highs in the mid-70s, and no chance for showers, so should be pretty nice. David Hammer joins us now, WWL Louisiana investigative reporter, to talk about what's going on with the Archdiocese and Second Harvest. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm all right, Tommy. Good morning.
Before we get to that, I saw you on TV last night with an update on the case that we were talking about, and I wanted to start with that, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was a lot going on yesterday, Tommy, all at one time in the afternoon. But yeah, you had me on yesterday morning talking about this investigation that I did over many months about a shooting, a deadly shooting in the Courtyard by Marriott warehouse district in 2022. Nicholas Harrison was shot to death in a single shot to the head, and his girlfriend, Cache Shelton, was the only one in the room. And I reviewed all this evidence, and she had never been charged, but all the evidence pointed to her story that he had shot himself couldn't have been true. And when I laid all that out, a couple days later here yesterday, the DA brought the case to the grand jury, and the grand jury indicted Cache Shelton, the girlfriend, and charged her with second-degree murder. So 2 years, two-year process, this family of Nicholas Harrison has been pushing for action. The police had booked her and on suspicion of murder, but she was never charged. And when I laid all the evidence out this week, it led directly to her indictment. So they'll have to arrest her and bring her in and start the process. And she's presumed innocent until proven guilty. But this is a big development in that case.
All right, let's talk about the Archdiocese, the bankruptcy case, and what's going on with Second Harvest Food Bank. Because this just every time I think I've heard it, I've heard the most ridiculous thing I could hear. Something else happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this is probably the thing that's gotten Catholics that I've heard from more angry than anything other than the abuse of children itself. And that's that the Archdiocese, the Archbishop Gregory Ament, has fired several of the leaders at Second Harvest Food Bank because they won't turn over up to $16 million to help the Archdiocese pay its settlements for clergy sexual abuse. And this is something that is, a tough situation because Second Harvest is an apostolate of the Archdiocese. That means it is essentially owned by the Archdiocese. The Archbishop Gregory Ament is the sole member of the corporation of Second Harvest. But Second Harvest has a completely...
Wait, say that part again. The Archdiocese what?
The Archbishop Gregory Ament, is the sole member of the corporate entity of Second Harvest. And that's true of all of the apostles. That's true of the parishes and, Christopher Holmes, which is a housing unit that's owned by the Archdiocese. He is the sole member. So he has the authority to fire these people, to fire Natalie J. Rowe, who's the longtime CEO of Second Harvest, and to get rid of board members as he did yesterday. He has that authority. But the question is, what does Second Harvest in its mission of feeding the hungry have to do with the clergy sexual abuse crisis? And, the survivors of sexual abuse involved in the church's bankruptcy case have long said that there are no survivors who are affected through Second Harvest. There are no claims against Second Harvest. And all of this falls back, Tommy, to the fact that the church wants to make sure that after they pay these settlements through the bankruptcy, that there are no more claims against entities that it controls. And so it's trying to bring in all of the parishes and apostolates like Second Harvest and have them pay so that then no more claims can be filed against them for previous abuse. But the point that the survivors make is that there are no claims against Second Harvest. There's no Second Harvest has nothing to do with the clergy who had contact with children and had sexual contact with children over the years. And therefore, it would have no responsibility to pay, and therefore it shouldn't be paying. And there's another big issue here, is that Second Harvest has contracts with funders like Feeding America, the Mackenzie Scott Foundation, that have provided millions and millions of dollars to them to be able to perform their mission of feeding the hungry in Southeast Louisiana. And those contracts specifically say that the money that they get has to be used for feeding the hungry. So if that money is then taken and used to pay settlements for clergy abuse, that could be a major violation of those contracts that could cause cause Second Harvest to lose that money and have that money clawed back by the funders. So these are all big issues, business issues, not related to religion, that are, you know, coming up now. And again, I have not heard this much anger from viewers, you know, average Catholics who are watching this, that I've seen in a long time. And I've been covering this, as you know, Ramon Vargas and I have been covering this for 6 years, doing stories about the abuse and about the cover-up. And, you know, Lawrence Hecker was just convicted of rape and died in prison after a long push for that over the many years. And people were probably more angry to find out that the Archbishop had fired the leaders of Second Harvest than I've heard from people after the Lawrence Hecker case.
See, it seems to me we got to take a break here, but Natalie J. Rowe, who is our friend and has been on numerous times with us, it seems like she got fired for actually carrying out her fiduciary duties as CEO of Second Harvest. Is that an accurate statement?
That is what it appears to me, for sure.
All right, let me take a break.
I haven't spoken to her. I reached out to her. I haven't spoken to her directly, but based on the statements from the board members who were relieved of their duties, that's exactly what they're saying is happening.
I don't know if we've reached out to Natalie or not. I know we were going to try. I know there's also, you know, sometimes some legal considerations when you get terminated and you don't want to come on the air and talk about it. But this is as egregious gets. One line I want to draw, David, when we come back, and you said, and you used the terms interchangeably, I would never challenge you, but just to keep it clear, you said the church, and there's a big difference between a church and the archdiocese, and it kind of goes to companies that have a huge mother corporation, and then they incorporate differently in different states to shield themselves from liability. And to think that the Catholic Church would have to take funding from Second Harvest to pay out benefits or to pay out settlements for their own mishandling of sex abuse cases is beyond laughable, because the assets of the Catholic Church are not limitless, but close. But then when it comes to the archdiocese, it's something different. We'll talk about that. And we did reach out to Natalie and did not hear anything back. That from Jordan Fiegel, 721 Traffic Now, WWL. 7:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Hammer, WWL Louisiana investigative reporter. Archbishop Gregory Amon replacing top leaders at Second Harvest of Greater New Orleans and Acadiana Food Bank, that the archdiocese owns, Second Harvest Food Bank, because the nonprofit supposedly or allegedly refused to contribute to paying survivors of child sexual abuse by priests. Somebody texted in, David, and said, I guess if these victims want to be paid, the money has to come from somewhere. And I think that's what the archdiocese is trying to do, make it seem as though, okay, these victims are asking for money. They're going to, as a result, people are not going to get fed now. You're tapping into Second Harvest if you want to get paid. But talk about the finances of the archdiocese as they relate to the Roman Catholic Church. And look, I've been to the Vatican. I've seen the Vatican Museum of Art. Sell one of those and all of this is over with. But tell me about the way it's set up, please.
Yeah, and here's the thing. From the very beginning, okay, you're making a couple of points there, Tommy. One is that you have the larger Vatican, you have the larger worldwide Catholic Church, and then you have the individual dioceses and archdioceses all over the world. And so the Archdiocese is drawing from its own pot of money that's much smaller, obviously, than the Vatican controls worldwide. But there's also the question of how much money the Archdiocese of New Orleans specifically has. And there was testimony. Remember, the Archdiocese declared bankruptcy in May 2020, and there have been dioceses all across the country filing for bankruptcy over the years. So now, 5 years ago, the Archdiocese of New Orleans declared bankruptcy, but they didn't declare bankruptcy because they were out of money. They were very much solvent. The issue was they were trying to protect themselves and reorganize under Chapter 11 of the bankruptcy code that, you know, businesses, all kinds of businesses use to restructure in order to be able to pay all of these claims of sexual abuse that were starting to mount, because up to that point, they were paying people to essentially, you know, settle their claims quietly in the background. And these claims started to mount, and there were, you know, about 34, 35 cases filed in court. Well, now we're talking about over 500 claims that they have to pay that could total hundreds of millions of dollars, that we expect to total hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're in a dispute right now with the, you know, claimants about how much they owe. So they're trying to figure out where they're going to get this money from. They had promised people at the beginning, the Archbishop promised the community that they were only going to draw or mostly draw from insurance. That's not come to pass. And now they're kind of scrambling to figure out where all this money is going to come from. But there are other options about selling property and all of this that they could draw from. And
that the archdiocese themselves could do, not selling Vatican artwork.
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Right. And, you know, they control a lot of property in this area, and they could sell that. And there's also the issue of how much money the insurance companies are going to pony up. And that's a big point of contention in this bankruptcy. So I think your point is very well taken, that this is not an insolvent, this is not a bankrupt in the traditional sense organization. This is an organization that has resources. And really, it's about protecting themselves from future lawsuits is the reason why they want to draw in all of the churches and parishes and these entities like Second Harvest, because they want to stop any future claims against those entities that they control.
David, real quick, when it comes to the operations of Second Harvest and their mission, which is to feed hungry people, do you have any idea or do we know what effect that's going to have on that yet?
Well, the Archbishop put out a statement saying it's not going to have an immediate impact. But as I said before, members of the Second Harvest, you know, community are very, very concerned that they're going to lose millions of dollars in funding because this could violate the terms of the contracts that they where they got the money from their funders, that if it's used for this, that they could lose that money.
So Mackenzie Scott donating $25 million to feed hungry people. They didn't donate that money to pay off a settlement for a badly handled archdiocese or Catholic church that put pedophiles in fertile grounds, right, to prey on.
Exactly. Victims. And they have a contract in place that specifically says what that money can be used for. And if it's used for something else, like paying off these settlements, then that money could be clawed back and lost.
Thank you, David. We'll talk more about this in the future, I'm sure. A minute late for news. Sorry about that, guys. That's David Hammer, WWL Louisiana investigative reporter. A little bit more than a minute late. Time now for WWL First News.